This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand.live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Your Living Brand.live show. It's 10 a.m. on the West Coast. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Welcome to the show. I want to say, first and foremost, this show today is recorded. So thank you very much for everybody who every single week listens in and gives me such great questions. But you know what? This week, I want to apologize. I'm not here to actually answer your questions live. And you know what? I'll be back next week, I promise. But this week, Rebel, who's my sound engineer, has decided to take the week off for Mardi Gras. She does this every single year, living in New Orleans. How can you say no to her? So what we've done is we've pre-recorded the show. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back, both of us, next week live. But this show is going to be this week about Maura Sweeney. Maura is the ambassador of happiness. And we're going to talk to her in about 10 or 15 minutes. But first of all, I wanted to go into something that, you know, actually stuck in my craw today. And it's something that I thought that is important to every business owner. And that's managing expectations. Now, over the last week and a half or 2 weeks, what happened was I was renewing my business insurance. The insurance for the company, not really exciting, not something you really want to do. It's money that you have to spend. But I really wasn't comfortable with the broker that I've been using. I hadn't heard from them. They really weren't communicating with me properly. I wasn't sure I was getting the service that I really needed. And quite honestly, I wasn't even sure that the insurance that I had really covered me for the type of work that I did. Because over the last year or two, I've really moved over to doing consulting, workshops, and keynotes, which brings me into the States a lot more often. I'm in front of live audiences. I'm here on the radio. And I really wasn't sure if the coverage that I had actually covered me, and turns out it wasn't. But what I did is I reached out to some friends of mine, and I do a lot of work with insurance and insurtech, you know, the technology departments within insurance. And I reached out to some people that I know, and I said, look, here's the issues that I'm having. Can you recommend somebody? And they're all in the United States. I'm in Canada. But a really good friend of mine, Pat West, he's got a company called HedgeQuote. And it's hedgequote.com, and they are phenomenal. What they do is they work with you to be able to understand what you do, who you do it for, what you need, and be able to refer you to the right broker and the right people within the state or the city or whatever that you're in to make sure you're getting the right coverage. And, you know, Pat's phenomenal. But he reached out across the border and gave me a couple of different suggestions, and I reached out to both of them, and I'm not going to mention names. And one of them was amazing. They were responsive. Their online customer experience was phenomenal. It asked me relevant questions. It prompted them to say, do you want to book an appointment? I booked an appointment. We got in touch with each other. We answered some questions back and forth. You know, the quote was more money than I thought it was going to be. So I decided, all right, I'll go out to the other people and, you know, do a quote comparison. And then I waited and I waited. And I wait, and they finally got back to me and said, well, can you meet later this afternoon? So I emailed back and said, yeah, I'm available about 3:00, and never got a response back. And I left a message. And then I said, well, he says, well, I'm going into a meeting at 3:00. You know, if I get a chance before 5:00, I'll get back in touch with you. Well, they never did. And the next day they never got in touch with me either. So I finally went back to them and I said, look, guys, we're all busy. We are all busy, but what gives? I mean, why should I give the business to you? In fact, I'm giving the business to the other people. You know, don't even bother getting me a quote. And the answer that came back was, well, I've been in court the last couple of days. And it dawned on me. The animosity, the mistrust, the fear I had of dealing with this person could have been solved in 30 seconds or less. If their out-of-office message on their phone said, "Hi, I'm going to be out of the office for a couple of days. I'm going to be unavailable. Can I get back to you next week? Please leave your message, and I'll get right back to you when I can." Great. If their email, when I emailed them, had said the same thing, you know what? My expectations would have been, you know what? They're busy this week. Something's going on. They can't respond to me this week. Fine. No problem. I'll get back to them next week. But they didn't. They didn't have an out-of-office. They didn't have anything on their voicemail. Their secretary, when I actually talked to a human being, didn't say that this person was in court. And because of that, I had no way of having any understanding other than the fact that I was being ignored. My assumption was I was being ignored. And it made me feel like I didn't want to deal with them. It made me feel like, why was I actually chasing these people? Why was I, you know, wasting my time and my effort and my money with these people when they didn't care? And that's what I really want to talk to you about, is that we all need to set expectations for our clients. We need to be able to sit there and say, this is the level of service we can realistically provide. If it's going to take you 2 days to get back to the client with quotes, tell them. Just say, you know what? We're swamped right now. We've got a whole bunch of quotes in the system. Is it okay if I get back to you in 2 days? They'll either say yes or no. And if it's no, you can decide whether you want to move things around to be able to help this person out. Or you can say, you know what? I'm really sorry, but I can't do it. And they can make the decision whether to go somewhere else. But if you don't manage those expectations, the answer to you is always going to be no, because they're going to feel that you're not taking care of them. Why would we ever want people to think that we're not listening to them, that we don't care about them, that we're not working in their best interest? Because if we are, if we take the time and we actually take the time to care about people and sit there and say, how can I make this person successful? How can I make their lives easier? How can I put things in place that are going to make them understand that we're in their corner? We're in trouble if we don't. And we're in trouble if our staff don't. You know, it's one thing for the owner of the company to be able to manage expectations. It's another thing for the entire company to have that within their company culture. And every company should. It should be in the out of offices. It should be on the voicemail. It should be on the bottom of the signature. It should be, you know, the secretary should know, or the administration should know what's going on with the people that they need to get in touch with and say, you know what, I'm sorry, they're out of town for 3 days. They're at a conference. They're not really available. Can either I help you, or can they get in touch with you when I get back? You know what? If you give people realistic ideas of why this person's not going to call them back immediately, most people are reasonable. Most people will take the time and say, yeah, no problem. Have them call me next week. Here's my phone number. I'm available Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Could they call me Thursday afternoon? Yeah, I'll make sure that they call you Thursday afternoon, and make sure that person does. They call you back on Thursday afternoon. Or, you know what, if you promise somebody you're going to get them a quote on time, get them the quote on time, or call them a day ahead, a half day ahead, whatever, and say, you know what, we're still having issues getting this information. I have this information for you, but I don't have this. Is this enough for now? Or, you know, can you wait? Or how can I help you? How can I give you what you need in order to move forward? Because I'm still waiting on this information. The more we can be with our customers and on their side and helping them understand that we're working on their best interest, the better off we are, and the better off our companies are, and the better off our brands are, because people will sit there and say, this is a company that gets back to me. This is a company that communicates with me. This is a company that I trust. This is a company I like because, you know what, they take the time to get back to me. They get the time to let me know what's happening. They manage my expectations. They let me know what they can do. They let me know what they can't do. They don't waste my time. You know what? All of these things are important. All these things are critical for businesses to move forward. It's not just the fact to have the best tech in the world. You have to be able to communicate effectively. You have to be able to let people know that this is what I'm capable of. I don't have the expertise in this area. I'm sorry, I don't. I really don't have the expertise in this area. Can I refer you to somebody who does? Or let me go find out and let me get back to you and do. Because that makes you a valuable person. That makes you a valuable business. You're no longer a commodity. You're a partner. You're someone that's getting them information. You're someone who's helping them out. You're someone who's allowing them to be successful in their business, because 9 times out of 10, when a customer is asking you for something, it's because something they need and something that's bothering them and something that they have to have. And the more you can communicate, yes, no, this is how, can do this, but can't do that, it allows them to make decisions that make them better. And that's what we need to do. We need to manage our customers' expectations. So let's go out to commercial. I'll be right back, and then we'll bring more on. Hang on a second. I'll be right back. This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back. Maura and I met, I don't know, maybe almost a year ago now. It seems like forever, but we met on LinkedIn, as I do with a majority of a lot of my clients today. It's amazing the amount of business I do on LinkedIn. It's amazing the relationships that I build and the things that I do. But Maura and I met because both of us believe in being human. We both believe that, you know what, having a positive attitude and doing that little extra things and going that extra mile makes all the difference in the world. So sit back, enjoy my interview with Maura, and I'll be back right after that. Maura, it is great having you on the show. Thanks for making the time today.
Ben, thanks for having me. You know that I enjoy speaking with you, and I know we have a lot of common things to discuss today.
You know what it is? You know, it's your energy that always brings me to you. I love the energy. I love, you know, the ambassador of happiness. How could I not have the ambassador of happiness on the show? You know, look at that smile. It's great. I mean, people on the radio are not going to see it, but she's got this absolutely wonderful smile. You know, it's Maura is an absolutely dynamic person. You know, for people who don't know what this show is about, this show is all about how do people add value. And every week I interview another person, and my goal is to find out what makes people unique, what makes them different, what makes them special to their audience, you know, and how do they communicate it, and why should people care? So what I want to ask you is tell me your story more. Tell me about how you became the ambassador of happiness, you know, and what does this mean? Who's the audience you serve, and where are you going with this?
Well, it couldn't be any more attuned to what your whole program is all about, which is Perfect. Living your brand. And I kid you not, you've only known me recently,
right?
But you don't know that when I was a young child, I used to cry a lot. I was actually a very sad child and probably felt quite victimized and felt very limited when my insides wanted to go and conquer the world.
Right.
And so it's from that perspective that I really learned to become a happy person and to literally exude happiness. And in the process, Ben, I learned so much about personal energy. I learned about who we are on the inside versus what the outside world wants to tell us.
Yeah.
But just to give a little picture to anybody who's listening today, for the record, I'm 60, and by the time this airs, I'll be closer to 61.
You're barely halfway there.
Right.
You're barely coming over the crest, you know.
Just a little kid.
Exactly.
But as a little child, I was brought up and literally conformed. Not a bad thing if you look at it in one perspective. I was brought up and conformed to be a New York, New Jersey attorney, much like my grandfather who passed away when I was 5 and a half.
Right.
Well, that sounds great for a young woman growing up in the 60s or whatever. But what wasn't good is that that was not me.
Mm-hmm.
So what that meant is I used to look at the sky. I wanted to get on airplanes. I wanted to travel the world. And I didn't want to stay in New Jersey. I wanted to be in the warm weather. I wanted to meet new friends. And I wanted to literally be this expansive, connective personality who saw a different society. And yet here I was being very strongly molded. So my short story, long story, was that I ended up getting an undergrad degree in political science at Boston College.
Welcome to my world.
Really?
Really, honestly and truly.
Okay, and now think about this from people of value. What do you have to offer? I'm at a university. My parents are saying, you got to be a political science major. I even get the internship for, remember the Kennedys? Ted Kennedy, the last of that dynasty. So I was offered the internship with him, worked for him, worked for him over the summer, was offered a full-time job, came back to New Jersey after college graduation, and went to law school. And I'm telling you, Ben, imagine being like early 20s and you think, okay, I've gotten some education and life experience behind me, but I want to live my life. And the way I felt was I'm going to have a 40 odd year career in front of me that does not match who I am. And I thought, oh, I'll leave law school halfway through because I was a walking zombie. So think about this for anybody who's watching today. Sometimes we have abilities, aptitudes, skills. We even look the part, like, oh, this person would really be good here. But if something on the inside is lacking, like in my case, life, there was no passion, there was no desire. In fact, to me, it felt like a 40-year life sentence until I could say I'm old enough to retire. Let me move to Florida and do what I really want to do.
That's right. Like somebody was putting a shackle on your ankle at 22 or 23 years old.
Ben, if you were to look, you know how you're looking at me now and you're looking at the energy. If you were to see me at 23 years old, there's a photo of me on my website. I look like the walking zombie. And literally one day I had no energy to get up out of my chair and drive myself to law school. There was no energy. And worse than that, I had no voice. My husband came home and he said, Maura, aren't you supposed to be at school? I opened my mouth, Ben. Nothing came out. This is what happens when people are living the wrong story of their life. And they're not aligning their inside life with their real purposes. And when you do align those two, this is what I found, is that you have more energy. You are happier. You're a life changer. You're a world changer. And you literally become this influence and this energetic creator that makes life better for other people as well as for yourself.
Right. And the word that keeps coming to mind, and you said it, is passion. Yeah. You know, we need to be passionate about what we do. I understand, you know, there we all have skills. We all have, you know, traits. We all have things that we do. But if you don't love what you do, if you don't get up every morning, you know, or at least most mornings, and sit there going, you know what? I can't wait to get to the office. I can't wait to, you know, turn on the computer. I can't wait to call my next person. I can't wait to do whatever it is. You're going to eventually hate it. You're eventually going to sit there and say, oh my God, you know, I mean, I tell a story on stage about the day that I sat in my car for 20 minutes because I didn't want to go to the office. I had absolutely no desire whatsoever to go to the office. And within a month, I had incorporated a company. I had built a new website. I had done anything. And 3 months later, I was out on my own. And it was, you know, and it was one of those things where you realize that if you don't have passion for what you do, if you don't love the people you work with, if you don't love the things that you do, if you don't have purpose, you know what? It's not going to be perfect every day. Sure. So, but if it's time after time after time after time after time and year after year after year of you just sitting there, just putting in the time, you only have so many days on this earth. You only have so many days on this earth, and I'm not advocating anybody just quit their job just to quit their job, but quit your job if, you know what, if you can honestly look in yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I tried, I've done my best, I've put all the effort in that I can, and I'm still not happy. So tell me about how you help people, because this is what you do. You know, this is how do you help people through this? Because it's a trauma for people. I'm sure it's gut-wrenching for people to be in that situation. So how do you help them through it?
I should give you the in-between piece. After I left law school, I'm only 23 and now 60. What happened in between? I didn't know what I was going to do, but I found my niche in corporate America or corporate world. And I ended up in sales management, branch management, cultural development, hiring great people, developing them, turning them all into stars. So I literally learned that my strength was not to be limited looking, you know, living in some law library in New Jersey, but being interactive with people. And that has been my strength. In fact, I could tell you 20, 30 years later, I still keep in touch with people that I trained and managed and developed managers and created these great, creative, high impact, I'm going to say cultures that not only perform very well, but also had a high degree of integrity, and they last. So I took a lot of that from my background. And then when our daughter was getting ready for college, I thought I'm going to do something new. And that was when I decided to take my ideas, my life experiences, my corporate experiences, my changing career experiences, and turn them into something that would help other people live a life that was happy, productive, purposeful, and really could contribute to a better society. And I think that, Ben, you know, I know you live in Canada, I'm here in the United States, we're both aware of what's going on. Many people today, they live low, their expectations are low. It's almost like we've given up on hope. And I want to be something to say, wait a minute, don't allow external messages to determine your state of affairs. You go with, set yourself aside a little bit of time every day and you start being the catalyst and the thought processor for what kind of person and energy and environment and life you want to create. And the big connector, I think, is your inside life and your outside life. And I think if you combine them, the energy's good, the power's good. And you know how you said a few minutes ago, if you're doing something you absolutely hate, like I couldn't get out of my chair to go to law school, you couldn't get out of your chair to go to work.
Right.
When we do things that we're really either curious about, passionate about, desirous, or we want to accomplish something, it's by following that thing that actually gives us more energy. It doesn't mean it's always easy because sometimes we're developing new skills, but what we end up doing, we become an internal catalyst of energy that keeps going because there's something on the inside that's looking for the success in an area that we have chosen. And even if it means we have to take a couple of turns along the way, it's that process that literally strengthens us, develops our skills, and turns us into a bigger, stronger, more influential person that not only lives a better life, but that also impacts those around them.
Exactly. So let's walk you through this because, you know, you do keynotes, you do workshops, you know, you have a course, you know, what is the audience that you wish to influence? Because like me, you can't help everybody. We can help the people we can help. This is our tribe. These are the people that understand that either they have a problem or they understand we can help them fix their problem. And, you know, and how do you help those people get beyond where they are? Like who are these people? Are they corporations? Are they individuals? You know, and you know, how do you communicate with them and how do you solve their issues?
Okay. Very good. The way you ask the question, because not everybody is our audience.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I probably spent 20 years working around certain audiences in terms of people who wanted to stay stuck, who wanted to complain. And could I add one more word? They want to stay victimized.
Yes.
Part of their story. And you cannot change somebody's life until they want to change their life. So to answer your question, I will tell you that, you know, I've spoken many times here in the United States as a keynoter and also overseas in probably 8 or 9 countries. The people that are very drawn to what I do are university students that know that they're on the cusp of life.
Right.
And that they're taking what they've learned in school. They've got some ideas, but they also want to be inspired from within to say, how can I think outside the lines? And what is within me that could make me a bigger and more influential person than I thought I could be? So I'm an inspirer that way. Also, I will tell you, leadership conferences.
Right.
who are looking for a new way of doing things, they realize that there are various elements within the business that can be measured, that you could, you know, work on all kinds of stats, but they realize there's something else they need. I would call it an infusion of life, creativity, freedom. That's a really big thing. And I'll give you one other audience. Well, I could give you a few, but here's another one that I think is important. You know how today there are a lot of corporations and a lot of places in society where people are talking about all of these good values. They want to promote all these great values.
And sure, absolutely.
You've got the corporate model, which is all based on the almighty dollar or Canadian dollar, wherever you might, or the euro, right?
That's right. Whatever it is.
Okay. So dollar, or shekel driven. But then they realize they're missing something. So then they think, okay, so let's start putting people first. Let's start looking at values. But here's what I've learned is that those corporations that want me in there are those that realize that they have an idea that they want to bring value, meaning that they want a corporation that has a heart and a soul as well as just the nuts and bolts, because you're working with people.
Right.
And they don't really know how to get there. In other words, they've got it in name only. It's written in every room you go into. These are our values, but they want to know how to get there. And my corporate background and some of the things I love talking about, which are, what are the hallmarks of a great leader? And you don't have to be a leader with a title.
No,
you,
a title doesn't mean anything.
So how do you become that person of change? How do you literally every day of your life as you're going through work, be a person that embodies a value that's important to you, shows and models the right way to do things, and in so doing, ends up changing the atmosphere and the culture of an organization? That is something, Ben, I believe is so big. We are so overdue for that in this new, I want to say in this new millennium. Everybody knows we need more than just going after money. We need to go after and cultivate people as a resource and not just money as a thing to rule and reign over other people. And then we've got a far more energized, creative, expansive society and contributory.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to give in when they know they're part of something good.
Well, it's the triple bottom line. You know, it's not only profit, but it's people and purpose. And if you can build a company based on a triple bottom line, you know, you're going to have a far more engaged, you know, internal audience. You're going to have, your employees are going to have a sense of vision. I hate mission and vision statements. I really do, because they're just words on a wall that they get written in a small little room by six people that put these words down. They agonize over them. And then if you spun them around three times and you close their eyes and didn't let them see anything, they couldn't give you those words to save their own lives.
Precisely.
I'm a big believer of have a corporate story. Who are you? Where were you? Where are you? Where are you going? And if you can infuse that both into your internal audience, your employees, they will tell it to your external audience and they will believe it and they will live it. And as long as it's something that's authentic and real and is lived throughout the organization, it's amazing the things that companies will do.
Ben, I so agree with that. And let me go back to my corporate days. When you have what you said, profit, people, and purpose, and you put those things together, you will also have not only an engaged workforce and leadership team, everything, but you will also have such loyalty. You have loyalty internally, but then you have loyalty of all your customers out there. I learned that decades ago when I was in the telecom industry and I worked for, it was an alternative long distance firm, national in scope, and had no identity. It had no story. And I was like, wait a minute, we're selling vaporware. We have no story. I was forced to create the story for our branch office. We had the number one in the office. We had the number one office in the country because I understood it is the story. It's the people. And you literally embody your value system. You deliver on that value system and people love you. People stay. And you've got really, when you could put all three of those together, you don't have to concentrate quite as much on making a profit, because what you've done is you've added this unseen energy element that literally refuels itself internally, absolutely, externally, and it contributes to the bottom line.
Well, it builds loyalty to customers. It adds value. Your customers understand why you're important to them. They understand why they should do business with you compared to your customers. And all of a sudden, you're not a commodity anymore. You're a brand worth loving. You know, and that's one of my taglines, is that stop being a commodity and start being a brand worth loving. Because if you can do that, all of a sudden you can start charging, you know, a profitable amount of money, because people sit there and say, yeah, they're worth it. Yeah, I love dealing with them. The customer experience is phenomenal. The people are great. They always do what they say they're going to do. They're always, you know, they're always there with a smile on their face. You know, they're fun to deal with. You know, they're easy to deal with. And therefore, that makes that decision, all of a sudden, that, you know, well, I can get it 50 cents cheaper somewhere else, goes away.
Right.
You know, it absolutely goes away. And, you know, but most companies don't get that. Most companies, and that's, you know, that's where I love your sense of purpose, is because you're trying to help people get to that point where they understand that.
You know, I think you and I understand one another so well. When you say, right, you don't want to be a commodity, that's what I was in. I was in a commodity industry. And we defined our own culture. People bought into the culture. They wanted to be a part of the culture. And this is what modern day business struggles with, because you know what it is? Here's a word I want to give you: genuine. Yeah. We could put the remarks on the board. We could tell people this is our corporate policy. But until you embody it, until it's genuinely inside of you and the other people and everything that internally and externally works in the company, you are literally missing it. You know, people overlook it because it seems like it's unseen, but it is so powerful. Yeah. And you're right. That's how you do get a premium. That's how you distinguish yourselves from others. You might have the baseline that everybody else has, but you have a spice and an aroma that people are like, I want that. Right.
And that's huge. You know, so a couple of questions, and then we get going, because you and I could talk about this all day long. Number one thing is it's the website. I want to make sure before we go any further is Mora for You. It's Mora, MAURA, the number 4, the letter U.com. And it's, you know, take a look at the website. It's great. You know, it's got a lot of impactful information. You know, it's old school, but it's authentically you, which I absolutely love. But I want to find out, you know, you were telling me you're probably going on a tour this summer. You know, so I want to find out what's the tour? I mean, I know the dates aren't settled, and I know the places aren't settled, but where are the type of places where you're going to be speaking over the summer?
Okay. Generally, the places I love are university settings, yeah, but also there are various business settings where people overseas are looking for, like, what's the American point of view? How can I get another perspective from somewhere else? So I'll be traveling to Finland, Estonia, and Russia.
Wow. And, take me with you. Anyway, we'll do a joint tour together. We'll do back-to-back stage, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Would that be fun? I know.
That would be a lot of fun.
And those are three countries that I have yet to travel to.
Yeah.
So it's great for me because I pick up the stories and the insights of other people, but I'm also sharing stories that other people could relate to, because people understand people's stories. And when you make those kinds of connections, all of a sudden what you're really doing is bringing a new spark to what people already know instinctively. Right. And intuitively, yes, I want to be my best self and I want to be my unique self. And it's in that place they have more respect for themselves, they deliver more, and they become more excellent. And really, my bottom line is going anywhere where I can help people see themselves and their world and everything that they do within the world through a better, brighter lens. And that's my little contribution to making for a better society.
Yeah, it's helping people be better for themselves. And that's, you know, and that's what I love about it, is the fact that it's not about you. It's not about, you know, me. It's about, how do I make other people's lives better? How do I share? How do I make things better for other people? How do we get them to understand that there's a different way of looking at things? And the more we can all help each other find, you know, there's other people's sense of purpose, the better off we all are. So let me ask you one last question, then I'm going to let you go. Okay. When you get off stage, when you leave a workshop, when you finish a course, what's the one thing you want people to think about, Mora, when you're not in the room?
Oh, you know, that's a big question. I could give it to you from years ago when I would come back to the corporations that I worked for and people I never knew. And they would say to me, you're Maura Sweeney. We have heard so much about you. You're legendary because you taught our previous or our current leaders how to lead and how to lead well. I'm going to tell you, Ben, I speak on leadership and influence. Hearing things like that, knowing that my influence paid off in terms of other people's lives that could go and exude and exhibit better behavior for the betterment of society and those around them, unbelievable. So that was wonderful testimonies. And for people who have listened to me speak, and I get feedback as well.
Sure.
People said to me, Maura, and this is, I want to tell you something what they've said to me overseas. Maura, even if I didn't understand one word you said, I knew you understood me and every word that was coming out of your mouth was true. And then the reason why they know it's true is because I deal with the stories of life and what everybody wants. And literally my stories and the connections I make with people connect with what their truth already is. So I brighten up their intuition, their true knowing, and their bigger self that really normally is not even touched upon. And it's just a reminder to say, you go step out and you be that change in the world you want to be. And so that, to me, those are great thank yous for me being what I am.
Well, Maura, you keep being used to keep being the ambassador of happiness. I love the energy. I love the passion. You know, hang out in the green room for a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody and I'll be right back. So thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand Live Show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The You're Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the You're Living Brand Live Show. Welcome back. For those people that are still trying to digest everything that Maura said, and I'm one of them, you know, it's all about the human skills. It's all about how do you build passion and excitement into the people that work for you. And I think that's a skill set that most companies today are forgetting about. You know, we're living in a world where engagement amongst employees is a record low. It is horrific how many of your employees, statistically, when you think they're actually doing work for you, are actually out there looking for another job. And the reason for that is they don't feel that there's purpose in their work. They don't believe in the mission and the vision and the story of the company, and they don't believe that what they do actually matters and is helping move the needle forward. And that's the work that Maura does. Maura works with the leadership teams, with the people within the organization to understand, what are we trying to achieve? What are the goals of the organization? What is the passion? What is the drive? What are the problems that we solve? Who do we solve them for? How do we make this company better? How do we get people more engaged? How do we get them to be passionate? How do we get them to be excited about coming to work each and every day? Because the money that's invested in getting people to believe that the work that they have and the work that they do matters and get them passionate about their job saves you the hundreds of thousands of dollars in having to have people quit and having to retrain people and hire people and having them quit and train and rehire, and the circle and the vicious circle goes on. Not only that, but the people that you have within your company actually are excited about their company and they're advocates for your brand. They're actually people that are out there talking about how your brand is great and how it solves problems and how it's a wonderful place to work. And, you know, the things that we do are amazing. And that excitement, you know, rubs off on clients and potential clients. And people sit there and say, wait a second, there's something interesting happening here. There's something that's going on that I need to be part of. I need to take a look at this and I need to, you know, be aware of this. And you're going to get people that actually going to want to come and work for you. You know, the reason why Google, you know, has a hard time dragging people out of their work is because people enjoy coming to work. It's amazing that the things, the little things that they do to keep their employees passionate. And therefore, it's a rarity. It is an absolute rarity that you have people that are, you know, leaving after, you know, 6 months because they say, well, I don't feel engaged in the company. You know, those are the things that people need to think about. What can we do? What are the little things that we can do? And I'm not talking about beanbag chairs and I'm not talking about beer in the refrigerator. Those are nice to have, but that's not engagement. What I'm talking about is getting people to understand why you do what you do. Who are the people that you serve? What are the problems that you solve? What are the issues that your customers have and how important these people are on an individual basis to helping solve those problems and how integral they are in part of the fabric that the company is. And if you can get people to believe that because you believe it, magic happens. It truly and absolutely does. I am a believer of it. I preach it from the stage all the time that, you know what, if people believe that what they do matters, if people believe that what they do actually moves the needle and helps people and makes the world a better place, they want to be part of that. They want to be part of the organization that is part of that. And whether that be, you know, working with the customers themselves with a higher purpose, I mean, I talk about profit, purpose, and people, you know, having an organization that you guys support as a company, a not-for-profit that you guys are partners with, it's not just giving money. You know, anybody can write a check. I just went to a conference the other week, and it was about how not-for-profits and companies work together in terms of philanthropy, and it wasn't just writing a check. It was having employees actually go into these organizations and work. You know, the not-for-profit needed an accountant. Well, the accountant from this, you know, corporate company went in there and did some work for them. And, you know, it wasn't the fact that it was any money that changed hands, but there was actually a sense of purpose. The marketing team went out there and rebuilt the website. The sales team went out there and showed them how to, you know, be able to be better at soliciting funds. You know, when you can build those partnerships, it goes way beyond the fact that you're helping out a not-for-profit. It's building relationships and giving people within your company a sense of purpose and the fact that you believe in something beyond the almighty dollar. And the little things that you can do, the little things that you can bring to a company that say, you know what, we're about our people. We're about the people we serve. We're about the people within our office. We're about, you know, about the people within our greater society. We want to help people. Yes, we need to make a profit. Absolutely. Every company needs to make a profit because if you're not making a profit, you can't help anybody. But when you are making a profit, if you think of people first, then you talk about your purpose and then you talk about profit and do it in that order, like we talked about with Mark Lebowski a couple of weeks ago, you start putting in a position where employees believe that the company is worth more than the profits. It is about doing good and being able to solve problems and being able to move the needle for people in various things. And I think that when we can do that, brands thrive and survive. People start talking about your brand. People start sitting there going, you know what? This company does amazing things. And it makes it easier to hire the best talent. It makes it better to retain the best talent. It makes it easier to, you know, to get larger contracts. And you say, you know what? we do these sort of things as part of our overall business product. You know, we align ourselves with these ideals. And when your clients believe in those same ideals, relationships form. And it's not about, you know, it's not about the dollar and cents anymore. It's not about the fact that somebody's 50 cents, you know, an item cheaper than you. It's the fact that they say, wait a second, they're supporting a cause that we believe in. Excuse me. I think that we should support them. And that's important. When we can believe in that, if we can manage expectations, when we can create expectations, when we can make people believe that we're beyond dollars, when we're into making the world a better place, or at least our little corner of the world a little better place, people stand up and take notice. Now, I want to talk to you about a couple things that are going on, and some really neat things are going on. Next week, I start my small business entrepreneurial mastermind. It's going to be, you know, run for 6 months and then we'll renew it. I find that when we run it for 6 months, it gives people a start date, an expectation, and an end date. And it gives them a reason to work towards a goal. And because of that, I run them in 6 month processes. It's twice a month. It's on Zoom. So you can be anywhere in North America and we meet online, and it allows people to have the ability to ask those tough questions like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to solve this problem. You know, I don't know how I'm going to make payroll this month, or I have this issue with an employee or whatever. You know what? There's very few of those problems over the last 25 years that I haven't faced myself. And if I can help you and the people within the group can help you be part of it, then that's what it is. If you go to yourbrandmarketing.com and look at the mastermind, it's right there. The info, all the information's there. There's a short video that explains it there. Take the time, listen to it, read the material over, and come and join us. You know, we only have a few spots. I'm keeping this at 10 people or less, and my goal is to be able to help people move the needle, make their companies better, and to actually help them make themselves more successful. And that's what I really want to do. I want to use the experience that I've had over 25 years in business, being in different masterminds, being down those holes and finding my way out of those holes to help you out of the holes that you're in, to help you, you know, realize that there is light after the darkness, that there is no problem that you have that can't be fixed, that can't be worked through. And this group is a safe place to be able to say, hey, listen, I don't understand this. Does somebody have an answer here? And if I don't have the answer, probably somebody else in the group does. And if not, I will work through it with you. I will find you the right expert to be able to help you work through your specific problem. And I promise that. So every week, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. I love having you on the show. And you know, I want to say I'm sorry for not taking your questions this week. You know, next week we're back live. I promise you we're live next week. And I want to be part of the show and I want to hear your questions. So come on back. Give me your questions. Give me the hard things, the things that are, you know, causing you to stay up at night in terms of branding, communication, business, whatever. I want to answer those questions for you. But every week, we're going to have another guest and we're going to ask them, what's your story? And we're going to find out what makes them different, what makes them unique, what makes their lives interesting, and how do they serve the audience that they serve, and how do they communicate their value in an effective way? Those are the things that goes on. You know what? My show is up every Friday. If you go to the yourlivingbrand.live show, you can subscribe on iHeart, yay iHeart, SoundCloud or iTunes. You can subscribe to the show. The links are there. And you can have the access to the show each and every week. But come and join us next Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'd love to have you there on the West Coast. My name is Ben Baker. This is the yourlivingbrand.live show. And I will see you next week. This has been the Your Living Brand Live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the YourLivingBrand.live show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story?